Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Hey, hey, Tampa Bay! Happy Friday. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network. My name is Tom Lang, and this program is presented to you all hockey season long by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Well, goals have been hard to come by this week. Four games since we last spoke on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Out of an 8 possible points available to the Tampa Bay Lightning, we procured 6 of them. Pointed out in every single game. Back-to-back wins out in New York. 2 different boroughs. Brooklyn. Actually, we played it in Long Island. How about that? I did not realize that the New York Islanders were splitting time between playing in Brooklyn at Barclays and then going back out on the island to play at their old home. But there it is. So we beat them on Long Island 1-0 in a shootout game. That is an instant classic. Much like the Colorado 1-0 final earlier in this season, I thought that's one of the best hockey games I've seen all year. It doesn't have to be 6-5. Usually 1-0 games aren't pretty, but we played a couple of good ones this year. Saturday night, Louis Domingue steps in net for us, and Louis wins on Saturday. His 9th straight start, tying a franchise record with John Graham in 2005-2006. That's right, John Graham. Remember when in the Stanley Cup winning season we thought maybe John Graham was the better goaltender? That was a real discussion over Nikolai Hoppy-Boulin. And then last year, Andrei Vasilevsky did it. 9 straight wins, 9 straight starts. Tampa Bay wins 3-2, picks up all 4 points in New York, and then we return home for 2. Tomorrow night will be the 3rd of a 3-game homestand before we go quickly down to Sunrise, Florida to play the Panthers. But Vegas comes in, plays a really physical game. I thought that was another playoff caliber type game. 2-2, it goes into the shootout. We lose in the shootout. And then last night against St. Louis, 0-0. Heading into overtime, we lose in overtime. A couple of unfortunate things. I think a bullcrap diving call on Braden Point contributes there. Great save on Victor Hedman to start the overtime sequence. He tried to go blocker side and high, and a great save by the St. Louis netminder. And then, of course, you have a play behind the net between Tarasenko and Andrei Vasilevsky in which the two get tangled up. It looks like Tarasenko tugs on Andrei Vasilevsky's glove arm, tugs him to the ice. Just a couple of moments later, Tarasenko back checks, creates a turnover, breakaway, and a goal for the Blues. 1-0 final. We lose in overtime. I'll work backwards a little bit by talking about the St. Louis game. I was talking to my buddy Tyler last night, and the Vasilevsky sequence there is tough to take for a couple of reasons. Number one, yes, there is a scrum behind the net between he and Tarasenko. I think he starts that to generate, Vasilevsky starts that to generate more time and space for us to get up the ice with an odd man rush. But Tarasenko goes beyond that line. He crosses the line and bringing goalie down to the ice, potentially chin first. That's dangerous, and I'm surprised it wasn't called. But the problem on the other end is if you have a puck that's so far out and ahead of a forward, in that moment, how's Vasilevsky not coming out of the net to make a play there to relieve the pressure? I don't know if he was still scrambling to get to his feet from the ice. I wasn't in the building, so the camera angle didn't tell you the truth there of what was going on behind the play. Maybe he was arguing with the official. I don't know. But you got to be out of your net in that sequence. And honestly speaking, good point raised by my buddy. If you're in 3-on-3 overtime, is it really necessary for you to be behind the circles as a goalie? Shouldn't you be out from your net a little bit farther in case you have a play like that? Because the goalie, as you've seen in 3-on-3 overtime, is a really important cog in the wheel when it comes to facilitating a line change if you need one. It's a long change in overtime, so sometimes the defenseman or a forward will pass back to the goalie in order to relieve any pressure if they get thwarted at the blue line or in the offensive zone and affords them some time to go make a line change. And you might see a 2-man game between the goalie and the defenseman. 3-on-3 is a very odd thing. It's a very odd situation. Unique spacing, of course, because you just have the 3 bodies aside between the true skaters. But you do weird things, like you want to carry the puck out of the zone to maintain possession. In 3-on-3 overtime, possession is 12/10 of the law. Puck possession is everything. So, you know, sometimes in a five-on-five situation, when you see somebody pulling out of the zone with their when they're on an offensive rush, you go, what are you doing? Why are you resetting? Three-on-three, it's a good play. It's always a good play. As long as you keep control of the puck, that is priority number one. So that's a tough moment for Vasilevskiy, but I'm not going to harp on 88. Don't get me wrong, people, because if it were not for Andre Vasilevskiy, our point total for this past week would not be 6 out of 8 points. He is the only reason that we pick up 4 of those 6 points, because since I last spoke to you, Andre Vasilevskiy has stopped 109 of 112 shots faced. According to the beat reporters down in Tampa Bay, he was angry in the post-game locker room last night. He's turned in 2 phenomenal performances this week. He was great up in Long Island. Skin of your teeth win, as Hedman's shootout goal is the only thing that went into the net all night last Friday. Vegas, you could only muster 2 goals, and last night you couldn't score. Now, this is the first time Tampa Bay has been shut out all season long. So, if you want to call a technicality on the New York Islanders game because of the shootout, you can say now twice. There's not a lot to complain about in the big picture. But for this week, Andre Vasilevskiy does have a gripe. I get it. I can see why he's a little frustrated. We're in a goal-scoring slump. And I said it last week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast that desperation is going to be the word of this part of the season, of these couple of months. A lot of teams jockeying for position. St. Louis comes into last night's game 7-1-1 in their last 9. They were 1 point out of the last wildcard spot. If I sound a little congested, it's pollen season up here in Tallahassee. The cars turn yellow if you park outside. It's terrible. I don't know if it's still like that down in Tampa, if you get that much pollen, but up here in Tally, it's ridiculous. So I do apologize for this morning congestion. But I thought last night we had a couple of guys continue to step up and play pretty good games. Steven Stamkos deserved a better fate. Let's just say it. He sets up Andre Palat in a high percentage area, Yanni Gourde in a high percentage area, and then in overtime, it's Tony C in front of the net that Stamkos sets up, and he whiffs. Stammer probably should have had at least one primary assist last night. Kucherov hits a post off of a faceoff win. You have another post that we hit. Andre got a little bit lucky in a couple of chances, but I thought we could have had 2 or 3 last night. But the problem is when you play games so tightly checked like they are this past week that you got to cash in on the very few chances that you do generate. It may be time to shuffle the lines for now just to find some kind of new chemistry to get you through the next couple of weeks. I'm not saying that I want to abandon the top line being Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, and Tyler Johnson for the playoffs, but clearly there's a bit of a stale feeling going on right now, and I do think that JT Miller continues to play pretty good hockey, and maybe he should draw a little bit more time with the top six. A guy I'd look at is Yanni Gourde. Yanni is going to be a great effort player forever and ever as long as his legs are healthy. You saw last night on the penalty kill, he was phenomenal. He was great, generating some offensive chances, getting the puck out of the zone. Our puck possession on the PK was fantastic. And Yanni wants some pucks for us 5-on-5 as well. But he's not finishing right now. If you pair him with Anthony Cirelli and Alex Killorn in the third line, and you move up JT Miller to Stamkos' line, maybe you get another finisher with Steven Stamkos. Maybe somebody who could put the puck in the back of the net. I think JT is warranted a look. Certainly the coaching staff has thought enough of JT to put him up with the first power play. They did so last night in place of Andre Palat. So we'll see. It's nothing crazy, nothing to freak out about, but goals are hard to come by right now. It's not going to happen that often to a team like ours. But you do note also in the standings that Tampa Bay's lead over Toronto is 13 points. Toronto has a game in hand, so they could shrink it down to 11. Is that panic mode time? Hell no. Not even close. But it is a little bit tighter than it was. I'm glad that we pointed out in each of these games the past week, and we've got a challenging slate in front of us between now and the next time we talk. It's Pittsburgh tomorrow night at Amalie Arena, 7 o'clock. The puck is going to drop around 7:10. On Sunday, it's a little bit earlier of a start. Don't want to call it quite a matinee. 6 p.m. against the Panthers. Then we come back home for 3 more. We play Calgary, and that is a game. I'm looking right now on ESPN. ESPN.com, they have the NHL schedule, and they tell you what ticket prices are. So tomorrow night's tickets for the Pittsburgh game, the lowest one you can find, at least on their link, is $119. So it's a tough ticket to get. On Tuesday night against Calgary, the cheapest ticket you can get is just $24. What are we doing, Tampa? That is a premier game. It might be a cup final preview. Could you imagine 15 years later, Tampa Bay, Calgary? All different faces, but the two franchises meet yet again to play for Lord Stanley's Cup. Wouldn't that be cool? it could be a preview of that. And Dallas on Thursday night, Dallas scores a lot, at least their frontline guys do. And if Ben Bishop's in net, that could have an extra layer of personal touch to it. And Dallas is a pretty good team and a dangerous team. So this is what I was teasing last week. Everybody's going to come in and play desperate, and they see the film. We can skate them out of the building. So people will give us their best shot. Opponents will give us their best shot, whether it's in Amalie or when we go to their barn. Anthony Cirelli's playing well. Yanni Gourde continues to play well. I think Tony C., the Bolt father, was fantastic in some penalty-killing situations we've had in overtime the past week. He's just a guy that, when you talk about details of the game and the little things adding up, the Bolt father is someone you can always count on.
Cirelli's good!
I love me some 71. Is he ever going to be a 30-goal scorer? No. Not unless you've got injuries and he has to draw first-line minutes with a couple of great players like a Kucherov and a Stamkos. But everything he does adds up. And I think we have a lot of guys like that. Last night against St. Louis, I thought defensively speaking, we had a couple of weak efforts. Sergachev, especially the way he started. He misses a couple of passes early. We have some continued zone time, some pressure, and it's mounting, and St. Louis is getting tired, and Sergachev and Kucherov can't get on the same page, and it's mostly 98's fault. And you could see that bleed into his defensive effort a little bit in that first period. I think the one thing that's worth circling and watching about Sergachev is he's affected by his offensive play, for good and for bad. He's got to be able to shake that. That when he's in a slump, no big deal. That when he's scoring well and he's putting up goals and points left and right, okay, you like the surge, but let's not have that be an outlier and only reserved for when he is producing. If he's failing, if he's struggling, you got to find a floor, man, and that floor can't be you look overwhelmed in the moment. This is a good opportunity for the Bolts, obviously, to assess what they have. News last week broke that Ryan Callahan is, until we have an injury issue or something comes up where somebody doesn't play very well for a strong or a long period of time, Ryan Callahan's going to be the 13th forward on this team. So he's not going to draw regular ice time. He's not going to be in a regular rotation. So you have a good chance to see what Matthew Joseph is all about. You have a good chance to see if Cedric Paquette is going to be in the second half what he was in the first half. Adam Ernie, does he continue to command time? I've always said he's one of my favorites, but hey, if he plays poorly for three or four games in a row, put 24 back in the game. Same thing on defense. Now everybody's fighting to be in the regular rotation. I thought Braden Coburn had some lowlights last night, including a sequence, I think it was in the first period, might have been the third, where he makes two boneheaded plays. There's a turnover. He's looking to feed the puck to point in the neutral zone, and he takes forever to do so. It's red. It's a turnover. You've got a two-on-one coming in, and then he loses the trailer. So it's like a double whammy in one shift. He didn't play that great of a game overall. I thought Girardi was okay last night. Sergachev, not so hot. So with Eric Chernak out, some guys didn't really take advantage of the opportunity. 81 will draw back in, I'm sure, against Pittsburgh tomorrow night, and he's more of a steady Eddie for us. But this will be fun to watch. It's like a stock report. You're looking at somebody's stock every two or three games and saying, all right, are they coming on? Are they sliding back down? But we need to know who we can count on, and I think the team is going to do more vetting more aggressively between now and the trading deadline of February 25th. That's the whole key here. We saw what Toronto did last week. We talked about it. Jake Muzzin comes into Toronto, and he shores up a pretty bad defense. He does a lot of things in the defensive zone in terms of generating turnovers, not allowing second chances. That helped what Toronto was ailing with. They were not good in those departments. He doesn't help them in transition, but they've got plenty of speed and skill in transition. What do we need help in doing and getting better at? That's what our general manager, our coaching staff, our scouts, they're going to be self-scouting over the next few weeks to see where can we get tighter, offensively and defensively speaking. Saw Brian Boyle got traded from New Jersey to the Nashville Predators this week. That was a kick to the gonads. I really was hoping against hope that we might find a way to bring him aboard. I saw Pierre LeBrun on The Athletic, formerly of ESPN.com. He also works for TSN. He's a great follow on Twitter, Pierre LeBrun is. He was speculating that he would love to see Wayne Simmonds from Philadelphia come to Tampa. Well, two thoughts on that. Number one, I don't know that he would be a culture fit. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. He does bring a nastier edge than we normally show, especially on offense, and we could use that a little bit. But Philly is also winning a bunch of games right now. They're winning, I think it's 8 in a row. But Carter Hart's played really well for them. So they're in one of those nebulous places where it's tough for a general manager to say, let's sell, because they keep on pushing like they want to be in that final wild card spot. And if Columbus is leaking oil, maybe they can run down the Blue Jackets. So maybe they're not selling. But I thought Brian Boyle was a great fit for us because you know the dressing room loves him. Tampa Bay loves him. And he's a good faceoff guy, a good penalty killer. He's a winning type player. And so he's a rental out to Nashville. Oh, well, maybe next year we can bring him on down for a stretch run or something along those lines. But that's one of my fan favorites. It's I'll be biased about Brian Boyle forevermore. And how can you not root for a guy who has survived a life-threatening disease and is still fighting it? But that warm reception he received last year in Tampa for the All-Star Game tells you all you need to know about how much he touched the hearts and minds of Lightning fans as we were rebuilding towards another era of winning hockey. We wish him luck there. I've got thoughts on the third jersey. There are a couple of thoughts. I think it's pretty solid, but I'm going to tell you what I don't like about what the Lightning did, and a quick change I think they could make that really probably wouldn't cost them all that much money. We'll take a look to the schedule moving forward after this break on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Welcome back to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I didn't forget. New general manager Sean Sullivan wants you to enjoy the Bolts in style as we make the playoff push. That's why he's giving away a 65-inch TV with every new vehicle purchase only at Bill Curry Ford. Start shopping today at BillCurryFord.com. The showroom, both in person and online, is fantastic. And thank you to Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring Hockey Talk in Tampa Bay. So the third jersey is something I've been looking very much forward to. I teased it last week that it was probably coming before we spoke again. I was embargoed, people. I couldn't promise that information because, you know, that's why you treat your sources well. But I knew that unless there was an 11th hour change, that Thursday night was going to be the debut of said uniforms. I didn't get to see him, though. So when they ran that video on Sun Sports, both for the pregame show at 7 o'clock and then also at 7:30 for the regular broadcast, I was kind of bracing myself because so many teams get third jerseys wrong. What did I think of these third jerseys? Well, first of all, when the Sun Sports video was shown, they look way more gray than they do when they're standing on the ice, like overall, not just the sleeves. And so I thought, ooh, we're going with all grays, are we? But then they cut to, after the Fox Sports intro, do, 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 and they're skating on the ice. I thought, oh, okay, this is way better. It's actually mostly black here. And then they do the fade thing on the sleeves. I believe this to be a success. I believe this to be a win. One simple reason I believe that: black is our color. As far as I'm concerned, I'll take that to my Lightning fan grave. Growing up in the 90s and watching this squad, like a lot of you did, black was our color. We won the cup in what color? We were wearing black jerseys with white shoulders, right? So forevermore, that's going to be the primary color for me. I love buying Tampa Bay Lightning black shirts, or I have a black quarter-inch fleece zipper that I wear on the Jeff Cameron Show up here on ESPN. You can find that on YouTube, too. Live streaming, it's pretty cool. But that fleece is one of my favorite pieces of Lightning gear because it is black and it honors the old days. So this one, as long as he didn't screw it up, like royally, with something really weird, I was going to want it. I was going to buy it. And this one is a home run for me. The gray sleeves thing, I could take it or leave it, but it doesn't kill the deal. I love the Bolts. One suggestion I would have had is the way the Buccaneers do their numbers. Hang on, don't turn this off yet. But the way the Buccaneers do the outlines of their numbers, not the clock radio part of it, but I think it's kind of cool that when you're in the dark of a 4 o'clock kick and a guy's leaning one way or the other, it almost looks like the numbers glow. I think that's a cool thing. If they could just do that without the damn alarm clock thing, looking like Salvador Dali put this font together, it would improve it altogether more. But the Bolt looks fine to me. I think the shoulder patches that are dark look great. The one thing I would change about it, if I could change anything, I saw a lot of people saying I want some blue element to it. That'd be cool, but that's not the first thing I think of. The first thing I see is if you look at the sleeve numbers that are lighter silver, I would take that number, that type of number, and put that actually on the back where the shoulder blades, the big numbers are, because it's hard to see the outline on television of who is who. It doesn't pick it up as well as I'm sure it does in the building. Rick Peckham had no issue on the play-by-play last night calling out which players were on the ice. But on TV, and it might just be a Sun Sports issue where their contrast wasn't right or their white balancing or whatever the term is in the TV truck wasn't sharp enough, you couldn't really see who was on the ice from the regular play-by-play view. Once they got into replay form, it was clear as a bell. So for me, I would take the numbers that were on the sleeve and throw them on the back of the jersey, and I think you've got a big-time win there. So marketing team, research and development team, it's been a two-year process. I understand that Adidas didn't let you do it for a year because they wanted to sell their own version, their own take on NHL jerseys once they got the contract to sell NHL jerseys. I know it's been a long process, and I think you guys did a great job. The one thing that I'm a little bit offended by, and I don't care what the price structure was for the Addy Zero jerseys when they first came out for the Blues and Whites, you don't release a jersey $55 more than their counterparts in blue and white. That's just stupid. What are you thinking? It's $280 if you want to get an authentic player jersey. $280 if you want to get an authentic player jersey in the new Addy Zero pattern, the black uniforms. It's $225 for the blue and the white. I get new car smell, but you're not taking me, suckers. I'm going to wait till you come off of that number. That's ridiculous to me. You could even raise it back to that price next week. But for me, you're wearing it last night to debut against the Blues. You're wearing it tomorrow night where more people are going to see it against the Pens. It's a hotter ticket. More people are going to find time to tune into a big game like that on their television. So more people are going to see it tomorrow. You sell it at least at the same level of the Blues or the Whites. If not, incentivize it even more. Why don't you start the price at $225 and give people a 10% discount for the two games, the first two games where you debut them? They'd be flying off the rack, guys. I literally could not wait to go to the order screen last night to go get me a Victor Hedman jersey. And the reason is, I have always, for whatever reason, outside of a Stanley Cup, I wanted a Norris Trophy. I think it's probably because I played defense when I was playing roller and very briefly ice down in Tampa. I love the defensive position. I like being like a Dan Boyle type. That's what I fancied myself when I played this very low amateur level hockey, was I could be an offensive defenseman. But I've always thought the Norris Trophy is the coolest trophy of all outside of the Stanley Cup. And so we finally got one. And I just thought that was awesome. I've always wanted that as a fan. It brings me back to being a little kid. So in honor of that, I want to get me a Victor Hedman jersey. So I look it up last night. I'm on TampaBaySports.com. Order now, $225, no problem. $280? What the hell are you doing? It's like the new sticker price. That's ridiculous. So when they come off of that price, I'll buy it. I think it's a home run. But I think you guys could have done better in incentivizing. Maybe your marketing and algorithms that you have, the formulas you have in your focus groups and your meetings and all that kind of stuff, your rollout, you say, don't worry, there are enough suckers out there that'll pay the extra 24% over the cost of the Blues and the Whites. I'm not one of those guys. As much as I want that jersey, I've yearned for that jersey, I'm waiting. Tampa Bay Sports, come on. Discount those things for the Pittsburgh game. People will buy them left and right, and you know what happens? They wear them to the game. They wear them on a Friday happy hour or something for a road game or something like that. People see them. People buy more of them. Buying begets buying. I thought they had such a great plan. You guys had such a great plan to roll out the Blues and the Whites in the beginning when you were selling season tickets and you had the first color change and logo change under Vinnick. But I digress. The week ahead for the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's the Pittsburgh Penguins tomorrow night. It's the Florida Panthers on Sunday at 6. We play Calgary on Tuesday and Dallas on Thursday. This is going to be a really fun week of hockey ahead. I know we're slumping on offense, but I think a couple of tweaks in the lines are coming. Those aren't going to be permanent, but you just need a little bit of a jump start right now. Andre Vasilevsky's played so damn well to only come away with just one win in his last three starts that we got to find a way to score some more. And hopefully we do that between now and the next time we talk on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. But we'll see. 8 more points will be available. And right now, we'll see. Toronto is streaking. Obviously, I think they feel the bump, the momentum of that Muzzin trade. They know ownership is behind them 100%. I'm sure the buzz in Toronto is substantial. But it'll be fun to watch how this thing develops the next week or two. No need to even come close to a panic button just yet. But if we are in a scoring slump for another week, we could talk about what needs to change. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, and we'll talk again next week.